This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour space shuttle shuffle. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, South Dakota to South Carolina. Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
As always, we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs in real time? Well, Rocket can. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Big show coming up for you this morning. Super Bowl winning head coach Brian Billick is going to join us as we assess the quarterbacks around the NFL. Brian Billick will join us coming up at hour number 3. Also, NFL-wise, reporter, sideline reporter for the NFL on CBS, the great Tracy Wolfson is going to join us. She'll drop on by at hour number 4. So two tremendous NFL guests today, Brian Billick and Tracy Wolfson later on in the morning. Also this morning, speaking of the NFL, we have a COVID flare-up, the first big one of the NFL season, as the Tennessee Titans have their facilities shut down and the Vikings do it as well. Can the NFL navigate that? We'll talk about it coming up an hour from now. Also, in the Major League Baseball playoffs, a couple of big storylines after day number 1 in the American League. The Twins playoff drought continues. It's just insane by the numbers. We'll get to that coming up here later on. And the Yankees seem to have woken up, at least in game number 1, rocking the Cleveland Indians ace and now taking a 1-0 lead in these best of 3 matchups. Remember, the first round best of 3. So if you lose game 1, you're already in an elimination game by game number 2. That's coming up this morning here on the program. Also, Sam Darnold, could he be the replacement for a Hall of Fame quarterback somewhere who's retiring? And in college football, Jimbo Fisher stealing money. All of that this morning on the program. So like I said, it's a big day. It's a big morning. It's a big show. As always, if you want to jump in on the phones, hey, hit me up, 855-212-4CBS, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Let's begin in the NBA Finals, the first ever time we've had the NBA Finals in September, which opened up tonight. Game number 1, Heat and Lakers. And you all know the Miami Heat are big underdogs in this matchup. You know, in the NBA, it's not like the Stanley Cup. It's not even like Major League Baseball or the NFL playoffs. You don't have 5 seeds win the NBA championship. In the NFL, a 5 seed being a wild card, oh, that's not so crazy at all. We've seen wild cards win the Super Bowl many times over, and we've certainly seen wild cards make the Super Bowl and make deep runs. In the Stanley Cup final, we've seen 8 seeds make it all the way to the championship round. Even in baseball, we've had wild card teams storm through to the World Series. We have never really seen this in the NBA. Once in a blue moon it happens, but it is oh so rare. For the Heat, they're a 5 seed, and we just don't have much history of seeing teams like this come outside of the top 2 or 3 in a conference and make the NBA Finals. And now, to not only stack the odds against the Heat, because we never see a 5 seed even get this far, they take on arguably the best team in basketball all season long. I know that the Milwaukee Bucks had the best record, but because of the Bucks starting to dip right before the pandemic struck, and because they were a flame-out last year and we know what LeBron does in the playoffs, you could have easily made the argument before we got to the NBA playoffs, no, the Lakers are actually the best challenger, the best odds to win a championship. And many bookmakers had that in Vegas going into the playoffs. So you have a wild card essentially in the Heat and an underdog in a big way in Vegas's eyes, taking on the best team in basketball with the best player in basketball for the last 10 to 15 years and the best 2-star tandem in the NBA with LeBron and Anthony Davis. So we can see how the deck is stacked, right? And yet Jimmy Butler is not going there. Jimmy Butler says, we don't consider ourselves underdogs. He says, maybe you didn't pick us to be here, and maybe you won't pick us to win this, but we don't use the term underdog. He said, quote, we may say that we have a chip on our shoulder, but I don't think we're the underdog. I think we're a really good team. We play together. Everybody knows their role. We just compete. I think we're supposed to be here. That's how we think of it. To me, to us, that's all that matters. We're not underdogs, end of quote. Is Jimmy Butler delusional or purposefully playing mind games with his team? It is where we begin your cold open.
I'm not going to say that we're any better than anybody else, but I just don't think that we're underdogs. I don't. So what that nobody picked us to be here? That's okay. I'm pretty sure nobody's picking us to win either. That's okay. But we understand that. We embrace that. Because at the end of the day, we truly don't care. We're just going to go out here and compete, play together like we always have, and see where we end up. But at the end of the day, we're going to do this our way, the Miami Heat way, and that way has worked for us all year long.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
I think these are mind games by Jimmy Butler. And damn it, he's a basketball genius. I love this play by Jimmy Butler. Love it. Look, everybody in the world is going to say Lakers in 4 and Lakers in 5. No more than Lakers in 6. You'd be crazy to pick the Heat. And I'm certainly not going to be that guy either. I think the Lakers win this in a fairly short manner. But if you're Jimmy Butler, what you are doing here for your team is you are saying, don't believe that we're lesser than. Do not believe that we can't win this. The quote, underdog tag suggests that we are inferior. And what Jimmy Butler is betting on is that they don't need internal motivation. I always laughed every time that the New England Patriots use this underdog type of chip on their shoulder. Nobody believes in us, which was always so silly because, no, everybody believed in you. Most people pick you to win every single game, even when you don't deserve to be picked that way. So it was always for them trying to find a motivation. That's not what Jimmy Butler wants out of his team. He doesn't think they need a motivation that somehow they could have a big head and have to remind themselves, hey, we're the underdog. What he believes is we need an injection of confidence. What he's seeing is his teammates, his locker room, that's young guys never been there before. Tyler Hero's 20 years old. Duncan Robinson is a G League undrafted guy. You've got a roster of players. Bam Adebayo, he's a young player. They've never been here, and they could get on a floor with LeBron James, and they can get on a floor with Anthony Davis, and they can get on a floor with the Lakers on those jerseys and think, oh boy, they're just better. And the Heat could easily lose game one tonight by 20 points, and maybe a young team that hasn't been here before would again start thinking, oh, we're not at that level. LeBron tonight easily could have a 30-point triple-double. Anthony Davis go for another 35 points as well. And it would be, you know, Lakers 109, Heat 82, and then everybody would say the series is over. What Jimmy Butler is doing here is brilliant. He is establishing early this mind game, this Jedi mind trick. We're not any worse than them. We're not an underdog. We're supposed to be here. So that when they get on the floor, or if they lose a couple of games big, or if they hear the media saying they've got no chance, he is already flipping that narrative mentally for his teammates. That they belong. They're supposed to be there. They're not underdogs. They're a good basketball team. And that is where Jimmy Butler's savant comes in. Really, this is really a genius move by Jimmy Butler. It really is. And this is why, as great as Hero is as a draft pick, as great as Bam Adebayo has been, as great as Duncan Robinson and Goran Dragic and the rest of the role players that have helped lead the Heat here, nobody's been as important as Jimmy Butler, because Butler's been on that floor in those wars with LeBron James. Butler's been in the playoffs and battled tooth and nail with elite teams and star players. Butler fears nobody. And when he walked into that locker room, and when he walked into that practice court, and when he walked into that organization back in the offseason, he changed everything. He changed everything. He was the perfect leader at the perfect time for the perfect team. I've got the Lakers in a relatively short series as well. Give me the Lakers in six, although I think it could be five. But I'll give more credit to the Heat, because why wouldn't I? They deserve it. They've earned it. But Butler is doing a brilliant tactician move right here. He's convincing his guys, don't be intimidated. We belong. Don't matter what everybody else says. We are here to win a championship, not just play second fiddle and adore or sit by on the sidelines as a bystander and watch the supreme LeBron James hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy. Amazing. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, Jimmy Butler, delusional or Jedi mind tricks?
It's totally Jedi mind tricks, but he's also not delusional. The Heat can play with the Lakers. I mean, they absolutely can. Their relentless defense can. Bam Adebayo can play down low, where Anthony Davis has dominated so many players, although Anthony Davis now suddenly thinks he's in a three-point shooting contest that feels like the last two rounds. But the Heat have the pieces. They're just young enough and just naive enough that nothing scares them, and Jimmy Butler knows that, and Jimmy Butler knows he can psych them up like this. Do I think the Lakers win the series? Of course. Would I be as stunned as I would have been, as stunned to a news, as if you would have told me 7 months ago that the Heat were going to beat the Lakers in the finals? No, I would not be. This is going to be an intriguing, very fun, very entertaining NBA Finals. And the moment the Heat step on the court tonight, they feel like they belong, and they should feel like they belong. And I think Jimmy Butler knows that. And if there was any doubt in that, that Jedi mind trick you point to is only going to psych that team and young guys up more. I'm excited for this.
Let me give you the way. Here's the formula. Here's what would unfold for the Heat to win this series. LeBron is going to have his triple-double. He doesn't get to an NBA Finals and shrink. It's not going to happen. We haven't seen him shrink this year in the postseason due to age. LeBron's going to get his. But the formula for the Heat would be that Anthony Davis could hit a cold streak where we've seen a game or two in the postseason where he was ineffective, And Bam Adebayo battles him down low, makes him work for everything. And he gets tired or he gets frustrated. And you can somehow neutralize, and I use that word with air quotes because I don't know if you can completely neutralize AD, but that Bam Adebayo does a good job maybe equaling out his production versus AD's production. And then the rest of the supporting cast of the Lakers just comes up small because they've never been in NBA Finals before. The Alex Carusos, the Kyle Kuzmas, the Dwight Howards, I know that he's played in the NBA Finals, but the Rajon Rondos, that these guys just don't put together a very good series. And now suddenly the Heat are maybe stealing game one, putting a little pressure on the Lakers. Suddenly maybe it's a 2-1 Lakers. You know, it's a 2-1 Heat lead. The Lakers have to scramble a little bit. And we start getting into a later series, deeper series. And by the time you get to a game six or a game seven, because of the physicality that the Heat can bring are wearing down the Lakers. Tyler Hero's hitting a few crazy bombs. He just goes off like a Jamal Murray type and has a 30-point game, a 35-point game. And you're getting a Heat team that's wearing down physically a Lakers squad and winning a few stunners, kind of like they did coming all the way back against the Celtics and kind of grabbing control of that series. And then we find ourselves in game seven where it's a winner-take-all, and Tyler Hero gets white-hot. Jimmy Butler hits a couple of crazy off-balance shots, and the Heat stun the Lakers. I don't know if there's a different way it can go down because I really believe that LeBron's going to go for 30 and a triple-double in almost every game of this series. But there is a formula here where the Lakers get frustrated, the Heat believe a little bit more by the day, and there's a different hero each and every night for the Heat as they kind of wear down the Lakers supporting cast around LeBron.
I think that's a great blueprint, and I do think it starts tonight. Although it didn't result in a win back in 2001, they need kind of that Allen Iverson versus the Lakers game one 2001 finals moment kind of night where everybody's jaw drops and goes, all right, maybe this team's got a little something. Now, it didn't result in an end result for the Sixers, but that's the kind of night they need in a game one here in the NBA finals.
By the way, I'm glad you brought up that series. If I'm not mistaken, the Sixers get game one, and then they lose four straight after that. It was Lakers in five in 2001 over the Sixers.
Yes.
That's why if the Heat do find a way to steal tonight's game, I'm not going to be the one that jumps off the Lakers bandwagon and suddenly go, there's no way they could win. I absolutely, you know, felt when the Blazers won game one of the opening round, that could be difficult for the Lakers because I didn't like the way the Lakers were playing going into the playoffs, and then they turned it on in 1-5. I like the way the Lakers are playing now, so if the Heat do steal game number one, we can't freak out and say, oh my God, look, the Lakers have lost their mojo. It could be an 0-1 Lakers-Sixers type situation. Tonight, game one, NBA Finals. When we come back, your best audio of the day, and that includes a pirate welcoming everybody on his pirate ship, and Bill Belichick looking ahead to Chiefs and Patriots this week. And how about that? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
It's time to ask the pros today as well, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question, pick a question, any question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS, and be listening later on in the show, and we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. We begin with Bill Belichick. In advance of this matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend, Bill really glossing that KC Chiefs offense.
Another impressive performance like usual. They're really dominant in the first half. You know, basically scored 31 points there, you know, in a half of football on the road. So against a good football team. So they're a very explosive group. You know, played the Ravens well defensively. So, you know, they're a good football team, very talented, well coached, play with a lot of poise and discipline. So, you know, we know we're going to have our work cut out for us in Kansas City. It's a championship football team, and, you know, we're going to have to play our best game.
I love this new reality with the New England Patriots. I love it. I love it. I love it because I'm easily winning this bet against Mraz. This is going to be a stop-the-fight, no-moss situation by week number 8. Mraz bet that the Patriots would have a bottom-3 record in the NFL. I said, you're crazy, which means that ultimately Mraz will be wearing an oversized 3X Ben Franklin costume as he reads from parchment a statement that I write as I throw dodgeballs at him from 15 feet away and dump hot clam chowder on his head. But number 2, I love it because the Patriots and Bill Belichick, no, they're just not nearly as good as the best team in football. They're not on that level. They go to Kansas City, and the Chiefs are a touchdown favorite. It's just nice to have the Patriots as a full touchdown underdog somewhere. And the bar is set so low for Pats fans these days. It was amazing. After week 2 and the Patriots went to Seattle and nearly pulled off the upset win, getting stopped on the goal line in the waning seconds, my father-in-law, huge Patriots fan, texts me, "The dynasty is back. The dynasty isn't dead." I'm like, that's where the bar is set for you guys now, is not beating the Seahawks or what, not losing by 2 touchdowns? And then they come back and they beat a Raiders team, which, fine, the Raiders are, they're good. They're fine. I mean, last year they missed the playoffs. But beating the Raiders, suddenly Patriots fans are like, this is awesome. We're really good. Yeah, the dynasty is back. I'm like, okay, what up, participation trophies? Because once upon a time, being 2-1 and having beaten the Dolphins and the Raiders wouldn't exactly have anybody jumping for joy in New England. But the bar set so low because now it's like everything is great. Oh, man, you should see my 5-year-old's finger painting. It's awesome. It's really good. Yeah, the other night, like, my 5-year-old didn't pick his nose and eat it. I mean, he's really smart. He's really getting it. I'm like, all right. I remember when your other kids went to Ivy's, but now we're just making sure my other kid doesn't eat his boogers. I mean, that's basically where we're at right now. And Belichick knows it. He's nowhere near as good as the Chiefs are. Nothing will be more delightful than Chiefs by 21 coming up on Sunday. It's going to be amazing. The Patriots might make the playoffs, but they're not winning playoff games because they're not that good. It's nice that Cam Newton's had this nice start to the season. It's nice that Rex Burkhead is Rex Burkhead, and Belichick's always going to find ways to beat bad teams, which is why I took this bet. It's the easiest win of all time. Belichick will always find a way to win 8 games because there's always 8 coaches on his schedule, which he is far superior than, even if they've got a better roster, he's going to beat. He's going to beat bad teams and bad coaches. But against really good teams, like maybe the best team in football, Patriots aren't anywhere close to that level. Here is Mike Leach, the Pirate, who now, after a week 1 victory at LSU, oh, this was delightful as well, putting up an SEC single-game record for passing yards in his first game with a transfer quarterback, KJ Costello, at the defending national champion's house on Saturday, now has a promo where he is riding a horse-drawn wagon. There's a pirate flag, and he says, everybody, come aboard.
Looking for a bandwagon? Hop on.
Leach is the best because he gives 0. Okay, he's going to the SEC where nobody thinks that Mike Leach, at least within the ACC, nobody's had the stomach to give him a job. Power programs have always been worried about giving him a job, so he's worked on the fringes of the Power 5, Texas Tech, Washington State, Mississippi State. Mississippi State is traditionally, perennially, a very difficult job. What Dan Mullen did there was nearly Herculean, and he's basically getting to decent bowl games, never winning the SEC West. And here comes Mike Leach, and after 1 game is like, jump on our bandwagon. Yeah, we're here for it, which you have to love. It's great. And finally, hop on! I mean, he's got a flag, a pirate flag, on a horse-drawn bandwagon. And finally, here's Kirby Smart, head coach of Georgia, calling out Auburn head coach Gus Malzahn for being full of it when Gus Malzahn gives the Bulldogs credit.
Kirby, today Gus said that y'all had probably the most talented overall team in the league. Do you think that's accurate, and how do you think that's assessed across the league when y'all look at other programs?
I think if you ask somebody the week of the game, the team they're playing will have the most talent in the league. And then next week, that team will have the most talent. And then the next week, that team will have the most talent. And that's called coach speak. So thanks, Gus. He has the most talent in the SEC himself.
It's week two. And already the coaches of the SEC are getting pissy, which is great. It's already happening. Kirby's right. This is straight out of the Nick Saban playbook. Every team you play, even if it's Arkansas State, even if it's North Texas, even if it's Southern Miss, best talent I've seen on film. This team on paper is really good. It's going to take everything we got to beat South Dakota State here. I don't know if we got what it takes. I mean, we think we're all that great, but you know, this Samford team, they're really good. No, I didn't say Stanford. I said Samford. Yeah, that's Samford team. That's a damn good Samford team here. So we'll see. I mean, maybe we can put up a few points on Liberty, but you know, I think they got the most talent that I've seen right now on film, and they play fast. They run to the football, and you know, this FIU squad, it's going to be tough to beat them on Saturday. It's going to take everything that we got, but we'll have to go out there, and what else can we do but try to play 60 minutes of football? Kirby's right. And that is your sound check. There is a kind sir, and he's standing by with headlines, and I have now learned something very interesting about the kind sir, and that is that every day he matches his socks to his ensemble. Now, this is a man that works at home. This is a man that is working from his home office, and he's still putting that attention to detail into his outfit. And this is why he's a great American, and this is why we need him here on the show to balance out the slobbishness of one Sean Mraz. Bogish, is it true that you are matching your socks every morning?
Well, it's true when I have to leave the house and go outside and do professional things like at work. Today, you can see the nice, well, relatively nice polo on top. It's on top of mesh shorts and no socks. But if I was, let's just say that we were at the studio, there would be socks that at least don't clash with this shirt. Like, they might not be maroon, but they might be gray. They might be navy blue. They wouldn't be yellow. They wouldn't be lime green. So, yes, I mean, the socks count. People see them. Your socks, your belt, they all these things have to go together. That's called being an adult.
Do you wear, well, I would agree. Do you wear, I'm really ashamed I don't know this. I didn't notice this. Do you wear sneakers to work or do you wear dress shoes to work?
I wear sneakers. Nicer sneakers, but they're sneakers.
Flop. And so you wear calf-high formal socks, dress socks, underneath sneakers, not normal tennis socks, like, you know, ankle-cut socks.
Not ankle-cut, but also not like socks I would wear underneath a suit. I mean, I found comfortable, colored, fairly formal looking socks. I have like eight pairs of gray socks that go with a lot of things. I have a couple of brown ones, a couple of green ones, a bunch of navy blue ones, and that basically covers the gamut of what I might wear above my socks.
Interesting. So I'm a real kind of rich and poor sock situation. I've got nice formal socks for when I have slacks on and dress shoes, but then I don't have anything in between. I just have then the ankle cut, you know, gym socks, like Adidas socks or whatever, that are ankle cut, either white or black. I don't have anything in the middle like you're describing right now. So it would look crazy for me to wear any socks with sneakers that were not just ankle cut socks.
Yeah, I mean, there's also weather factors involved in this too, DA. If we were, again, in the building all summer long, I probably would appear to not be wearing socks underneath my sneakers, but I've got those no-show super low-cut socks because I wouldn't wear any kind of actual like calf-high sock when it's warm on the subway. It's only adding to the discomfort of it being 100 degrees and max humidity. But then when we get to the fall, all the way through the winter until the spring when it's warm again, back come the actual socks.
Mraz, you could really learn something from Bogues.
I guess, but then he's a fraud because he's wearing mesh shorts and no socks today. I at least have some nice Adidas socks to go with my ensemble today. I'm comfortable enough in wearing socks.
Yeah, but you're probably wearing cheese whiz stained sweatpants.
No, I haven't transitioned to sweatpants. They are a beautiful cut of gray gym short made by a champion company that I've discovered. And they are quite exquisite. Quite exquisite. And
so you're wearing mesh shorts.
Yes, I'm wearing mesh shorts. And you know what? I'm working hard today. So there goes your theory that you don't work hard in sweatpants and gym shorts.
What are you working hard on?
Breakfast.
Good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's no Canadian bacon today. We got sound check. That's three cuts. What are you doing that's extra hard today?
You know what? I walked myself into a corner. I'm going to backtrack and not dig myself a hole today. That's working hard.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Bogues, I hear that we have tennis to lead off this update.
How about that? And that's not stunned to a news. It is all sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Yes, a little breaking news.
Oh, my.
Tennis this morning. Serena Williams just withdrew from the French Open ahead of her second round match later today. She's been dealing with an Achilles injury since the U.S. Open and now says she needs 4 to 6 weeks of rehab. And that's actually the second shock of the morning in Paris. A loud boom was heard close to the grounds. Within the last hour or so, the clip I saw had players looking at each other, not sure if they should start the next point or run for cover. They did go back to playing. The tourney says it was a fighter jet in the sky above, nothing dangerous on the ground. But I've heard explosions and I've heard fighter jets booming up above, and this definitely sounded more like an explosion. Either way, they're chugging along. Stan Wawrinka and Victoria Azarenka on the court right now. Rafael Nadal and Coco Gauff played later on today, and again, Serena Williams withdrawing from the French Open with an Achilles injury. And now, DA, imagine if your favorite baseball team did something like this, and you couldn't say a word.
Mm.
And the pitch is swung on and hit in the air to right and deep. Back goes Naquin on the track. He's at the wall. She's gone! Oh, what a start for the Yankees. It's Judgment Day. Aaron Judge just hit a two-run home run, a Judgian blast to right field.
John Sterling, Susan Waldman, Yankees Radio. Aaron Judge, a two-run homer on Shane Bieber's fourth pitch of Game 1 last night in Cleveland. The assumed AL Cy Young didn't survive the fifth inning, surrendering a season-high 7 runs on a season-high 9 hits, all while Gerrit Cole K'd 13 over 7 for his Yankees, impressing Aaron Judge.
This is why we got him. You know, we didn't get him to throw in April. We didn't get him to throw in May. We got him to throw in, you know, postseason baseball for the Yankees, and that's what he did. You know, all year, you know, seeing him throw, he takes it to another level, but this time he took it up another notch.
Judge and company took the opener in Cleveland 12-3. They won the series tonight in Game 2. The road team also won in Oakland and Minnesota yesterday, both by 4-1 scores. White Sox righty Lucas Giolito was perfect through 6 against the A's, and the Astros scored 3 in the 9th to disappoint the Twins, who have now lost 17 consecutive playoff games.
This is so outrageous. I'm going to go by the numbers on this because this is truly one of the craziest stats in sports and one of the craziest droughts in sports. The Twins have been in multiple playoff series in the last 15 years and haven't won a game. Not the series. They haven't won a game in those years.
Oh, God.
And let me just real quickly in that Twin game, I don't know if you guys watched the game. The players' family and friends are there or going to all these baseball games now. They had a shot of one of these Twins players' kids eating a stadium hot dog. And you want to talk about sadness. I realized what I missed this year so much. A stadium dong right to the face. It looked so damn delicious.
Ballpark food. We all really lost out on ballpark food this summer.
Oh, I'm going to be thinking about it all year.
Yep.
Why do you insist on using that word for hot dogs? You did this one time that DA was out, and they said something, used it in an inappropriate fashion then as well as now. Why do you insist on that?
All right. You want me to? Everybody on TikTok's calling them glizzies. You want me to call them a glizzy?
People on TikTok are calling hot dogs glizzies.
Yeah, that's the new term for a hot dog. Everybody calls it a glizzy. If you had social media, if you refer to a glizzy, it's a hot dog.
So why do you refer to it as a dong?
That's what I've referred to as basically my whole life and speak. I'll take a dong with ketchup. I'll take a dong with coleslaw.
And when you say that, does the person you're ordering from look at you like, what's wrong with you?
No, everybody knows a dong's a hot dog.
No, everyone doesn't know that.
Chili dong right here. Take it. Give it
and
to me.
Why do you have to refer to getting a dong to the face?
First of all, I refer to any food. I'll take a cheesecake to the face. I'll take a dong to the face. I'll take a slice of pizza to the face.
Are you naked in a park while this is happening?
No. You guys don't. I mean, look, you guys aren't hefty, so you don't talk about food that way.
Huh.
But it's just like, you know, everybody's, you know, people talk about drinking like, oh, yeah, I'll take a bottle of vodka to the face. No, no, no. I take a dong to the face. I'll take a hamburger to the face.
At the truck stop.
Yeah, that's all. No. I never had a hot dog at a truck stop. I'm talking about like a stadium.
I feel like if I walked into Bob's bar and said I need a dong to the face, I'd get thrown out immediately and never be allowed back.
No, we'll get you a glizzy. You want it on the grill? You want it on the hot stone?
Yeah, here's my guess. That Bob running Bob's bar doesn't refer to his hot dogs as dongs to the face.
Nope.
No, but if you order a dong to the face, he knows what to get you. You want an international or a soubrette?
Bob. Come on in. This is my bar.
No, he curb stomps you.
He's got a guy. back to baseball. The Rays were the only home team to win yesterday 3-1 over the Blue Jays. Game two in all these AL series is today, while the four NL series get going, which means we have 8 games on the schedule, Woo-hoo! Starting with the Reds and Braves in Atlanta at noon Eastern. The NFL has just begun figuring out what to do with the Titans and Vikings. As you know by now, Tennessee has 3 players and 5 staff members testing positive for COVID-19. Their facility is closed until Saturday at least. Minnesota also staying home since they hosted the Titans last weekend. This Sunday, Tennessee supposed to play Mike Tomlin's Steelers.
We don't have a lot of definitive answers about long-term what the prognosis looks like. We've been given a mandate to prepare as if the game is going to be played and played on time. And so that is our mentality.
The Vikings scheduled to play in Houston this weekend. Both games could apparently end up on Monday or Tuesday, or following weeks could be reconfigured to make them up. All 8 in Tennessee said to be asymptomatic, while the Vikings have had no positive results just yet. And then there are the Raiders. A number of players, including QB Derek Carr, were not wearing masks, mingling with fans who weren't wearing masks at a fundraiser Monday night for tight end Darren Waller's foundation. The golf course that hosted the event has already been fined $2,000 for violating some of Nevada's COVID-19 protocols. NFL players are prohibited from attending events that violate any local or state coronavirus ordinance, so they certainly could be facing punishment.
And right remember, if they catch COVID from an unnecessary place that's not cleared by the NFL and they miss games, they lose out on paychecks. This is the big one from the NFL, that if they're doing this type of nonsense and they test positive and can't play, you don't get paid that week. Nice. Okay.
I mean, it's a good point.
Hello?
Is this thing on? Attention, Kmart shoppers.
Are there anybody?
Sorry. I was ordering a dong to the face. I got distracted.
When we come back, we've got this date in mothership history, an iconic football food of the week, slather on the pork. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
Let's go back 4 years ago, shall we, to 2016, when Mraz unveiled his football food of the week that included pork on pork with some more pork and a side of pork. Roll tape. This looks very porky.
Gotta have thick meat.
It's all about the pork, baby. It's all about the pork. We're doing bacon wrapped kielbasa.
Bacon wrapped, so that's pork wrapped in pork.
Yeah, with a little Polish pork. It's Polish pork wrapped in American pork. A little maple syrup gets involved there.
God.
You could do a little chili powder, a little brown sugar.
Holy cow.
So it's almost like a maple glaze.
Sugar, pork, and pork?
Oh, mama, yeah. So if you don't like Polish pork and you don't like American pork and you don't like American sugar, sweetheart, this food ain't for you. But if you like all of those things, I'm telling you, these will be a hit. Bacon-wrapped kielbasa. Think about this. Bacon-wrapped anything is good, right? Can we all admit that?
Oh, yeah.
Bacon-wrapped anything is good? Kielbasa, real good, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
DA?
I'm not a huge...
Play to the crowd here.
I'm not a huge kielbasa guy.
All right. Well, you know, you're ruining the bit then.
No, but I'm listening.
Okay, kielbasa's great, okay? And not enough people make it.
You love kielbasa?
It's not like you sit at Christmas Eve every year and go, oh, pass the kielbasa.
Well, that's the problem. I do, because my mom's side of the family is Slovak.
Nobody eats it enough, okay? And I'm telling you right now, it's time to start eating kielbasa. It's time to pound the pork, okay? Pound the pork. Like you pound the rock, we're going to pound the pork here. Pig, bacon wrapped in the kielbasa, that brown sugar maple glaze. Woo, daddy, you got a football weekend. Now that's a winner. Yeah. Even more than the Titans getting
five. Where do you get your kielbasa?
The local market. You go to the butcher. I got Gemelli's in Babylon. Okay. You go right there.
All right, so you got fresh.
You can get fresh kielbasa. I'm sorry. Maybe in Iowa, if you're listening in Dubuque tonight, maybe you can't get the fresh kielbasa. But most places, I bet you could.
Well, closer to Wisconsin, you find better kielbasa. But
there's plenty of kielbasa to go around. You wrap that thing in bacon and you wrap it tight.
Joe D.
That's a lot of pork.
It's just a lot of pork right there. You're wrapping pork and pork.
That's plenty of pork.
You know, it just goes to show you how inspired Football Food of the Weeks used to be, and they've fallen on such hard times. Last year, it was all dips. Could you believe we used to have Football Food of the Weeks that were bacon-wrapped kielbasa with maple sugar on them, and then we got to, oh, yeah, you could put a little cheese in your dip. This is how we're going to change things up. We're going to do a little bacon in your ranch dressing.
And this year, it's if you have an idea, send it to me.
Yeah.
So I don't need to think of one.
I know. And then this year, it's just I'm accepting any and all food of the weeks to just... it's really fallen on hard times. Whereas the first 5 years, you were so inspired. It really... And, you know,
you guys are nuts.
I wonder also if the pandemic has added to this because, I mean, no offense. I think this happens to a lot of people. I think people working from home, generally speaking, are working less hard than ever. And I wonder if this is factored into your Football Food of the Week where, you know, you're like, well, all I got to really do is a topic list now because I'm not really editing audio anymore. And I'm not really like at the studio anymore. And I'm not really commuting anymore. So, you know what? I'll just have other people develop my recipes for me.
You know what? I'm going to invite you down here one morning to see exactly what I do because my job is infinitely more difficult working from home. So that is ridiculous. I'll tell
you
how so? Because I can't just fully digest something. So I have to go through the hoops. It makes me and Pete's job harder. I got to relay stuff to him. I'm taking 10 extra steps to do one step. It is much harder. Now, and speaking of the foods of the week, guys, look, I love food. All right. I cook a ton of food. The fact that our matter remains, I'm just looking for a refresher here 7 years in. It is hard to not go back to the well on a lot of the same stuff. Last week, I dropped you sausage and pepper empanadas. Okay, you have never seen them before. Never seen them. They weren't suggested by anybody. I dropped them in the lap of you guys, and I don't know what happened to the Up the Gut Instagram account. Suddenly, I make a food, he goes missing. I don't know what's going on there. But, I mean, this brain is always working. So don't give me that nonsense. This is now two straight days I've had pot shots taken at me for certain things that I'm really good at. And I'm really good at giving you a little snacky poo on a football Sunday.
Well,
maple syrup? So what if I was in a dip groove last year? Dip's great.
It's a little...
Dip groove.
It's a little hard, though, to take that seriously because, okay, you gave a sausage and pepper empanadas. I mean, it's not exactly we're splitting the atom here, but okay, fine. It's something. But that was your first Football Food of the Week in nearly a calendar year. I mean, it took you 10 months to get to sausage and pepper empanadas, and now you want to take bows for it?
Okay, so what did you want? Like, all right, buffalo chicken dip. Here you go.
I want something more than just buffalo chicken dip.
Well, you know what? I hope you like Dipsy Doodles because I got something on tap this week, all right?
No.
What was the dip last year that really sent everybody over the edge? Like, well, you're really
French onion dip with bacon.
French onion dip. Just think about it. You could go into any grocery store, grab French onion dip off the shelf, and Mraz's twist was make bacon, put it in.
French onion dip with bacon. Yeah. I said to make the French onion dip fresh, sour cream, and the lip.
That was the biggest mail-in job ever.
From powder.
Oh man, that was Mitchell Trubisky going into week three. He just did not care about the game plan.
I'm not Rachel Ray here, guys. Enough.
You used to be bacon wrapped kielbasa with maple sugar on it. You used to be.
All right. I'm back this week. I'm back.
When we come back here on the show, because we're back as well. Can the NFL navigate the Titans' COVID flare?
T-Mobile
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.